Some neighbors right up here had a mobile home. It's gone.
Neighbors has been real good. They've been running up and down the road, checking on everybody, checking on neighbors, families, checking on families.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're in the middle of a great holiday, or if you had to work today, maybe you had a couple days off on the other side. Boy, a lot is hanging over our heads heading into 2013, including something that we've talked about way too much on this show, and it's the debt limit and it's the so-called fiscal crisis deal. How many people have we had on the show? How many ways have we looked at this? How many economists have we sat down with? A lot. What you heard at the top of the show, though, was something that unfortunately too many people were dealing with the last couple of days, and that's weather. Tornadoes in Mississippi, tornadoes in parts of Texas that touched down, just ripping across the South. Boy, I was looking at some of the video of that earlier in the day, and a couple of them actually touched down and ripped up a couple of trailer parks, and five people killed because of holiday weather. It wasn't just tornadoes, however. There was also snow and whiteout conditions in parts of the Midwest. The last time that we talked, we were mentioning the fact that looking at the radar, it looked pretty nasty. And sure enough, that's exactly what we saw. It depends on where you live as to how many feet of snow that you got. But I know a lot of people were busy with snow plows, rather, and shovels and everything else that you can imagine that you have to deal with whenever you're dealing with the white stuff, the weather that hit the parts of the South and central U.S. moved eastward on Wednesday, so you had a lot of flight delays. Some of the flights where they were delayed the most, we're talking about Philadelphia and New York, they had a lot of flights. Newark, New Jersey was perhaps one of the worst. They were talking about four-hour delays. I've taken some flights in and out of there, and it is nasty when you have to deal with that. I say it's nasty because it's such a small airport, and, you know, pretty much you're just trapped. But maybe 4 hours isn't as bad as some other people had to suffer through, because some had to deal with days. About 1,300 to 1,500 flights had been canceled on Wednesday, and a bunch of airlines waived ticket change fees because they knew people were trying to get places, and what can they do about it? All four runways, I said Philly, you know, stone's throw away from where I grew up, the Philadelphia International Airport, all four runways were open there, but there was still a lot of cancellations because you know how that works. It's the intricate weaving of the planes that come from one place and go to another. So the National Weather Service had issued blizzard and winter storm warnings in Illinois. I know there's a lot of people listening to us in the great state of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, part of the Northeast and whatnot. And I hope you're digging your way out of that because that is, like I said, nasty. Even a lot of houses and businesses didn't have electricity in Arkansas, Alabama, but all of a lot of people there in the dark. And in fact, the governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant, I heard this, somebody text me, that he declared a state of emergency because you had counties reporting that so much damage, and they had 25 people plus that were injured. It was that severe, and because of the twisters. And in downtown Oklahoma City, boy, it seems like they always get hit with everything. They had a 21-pile car, 21 vehicle, if you want to call it that, pile up that shut down 40. You know, you go in and out of 40, and a lot of power outages there, too. And there was a Texas guy that died after a tree fell in the middle of the road. So be careful if you're traveling out there, because there's still some of that weather that's pretty sticky. And if you're flying someplace, make sure that you do the obvious thing. You check on the flights. Stupidly, once I went to the airport when I didn't check on the flight, and it was delayed for 5 hours. So I spent a good deal of time with my feet propped up in a lounge somewhere. Actually, I think that was Philadelphia. I mentioned at the top that something that we've talked about a ton is what's happening on the front of the fiscal front when it comes to the fiscal cliff. I hate that word cliff, and so do so many of you. You've called me so many times to say, you know, what cliff? What are we talking about? Like, we didn't know this was happening. The bottom line is this. It will absolutely affect a lot of you, because whether it's the Bush tax extensions, when we're talking about the amount of money that you'll actually see in a check, or whether it's something else affecting you business-wise, everybody's financial picture is different, but we do know that this fiscal crisis is certainly looming. The president cut his vacation short to deal with it. He wouldn't do that, obviously. The Republicans, they're showing no signs of coming to a compromise over this, and the Democrats are saying that, you know, they're digging in as far as they're concerned too. So what happens if we fly over this mythical cliff? Are we going to survive? Are you going to survive? Am I going to survive? And who do you end up blaming for this? Because, yeah, we live in the land of blame. So are we blaming the Democrats? Are we blaming the Republicans? Are we blaming both of them? Are we blaming really nobody for this, since we knew that this was headed our way? The other part of the conversation, because I always say America Tonight is part of the buzz in the backyard, what it is that people are talking about, the weather, the holidays, what's happening in Washington with the money situation, because that's all you hear about. Pick up any paper. I had three. I'm in Tampa with relatives, staying with my brother and sister-in-law, and she got a copy this morning of the Tampa Bay Times, and sure enough, the fiscal cliff is mentioned right on the front. In fact, not very much locally. It was more having to do with what was going on in Washington. The headline read, Obama and Congress to get back to work. The Tampa Tribune, same thing. They're looking at what's going to happen in Washington, talking about health care tax hikes start next week, and high-income Americans bear the brunt, but that could change. And then the USA Today, same thing. We have a winner, same headline. It's like that different verse thing, talking about the debate over what's going to happen with the fiscal cliff and everybody getting back to Washington. And in fact, their specific headline, one of them anyway, was online refunds slower this year. And part of the problem there is because they're not quite sure some of the elements of the tax code, believe it or not. So coming up this hour of America Tonight, so much was made, and rightfully so, over what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, the latest magazine of, you know, of pretty much, you know, pick your choice, Reader's Digest from People Magazine, talking about the unbearable loss of the 20 kids, especially, not to say it wasn't the same way for the adults, the six, but talking about their lives and who they were and that kind of thing. And obviously a lot of grief going on because of what happened with Adam Lanza, and now people questioning gun ownership and talking about gun control versus gun advocacy and whatnot. And the battle lines are clearly, clearly drawn there. So this hour we're going to talk with Chris Ferguson, who I thought was one of the best interviews of this year, where he dug a little bit deeper for us as to what is the portrait of somebody who does something so horrific like Lanza did in Connecticut. Hang with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful.
Well, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, hanging out with all of you across this great country. Hey, if you want to throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it, you know how to get to me. AmericaTonight.net, click on contact and bada bing, you're in. Or give us a jingle at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The third hour, don't forget another version of Nail the Score. I bet you thought we were going to abandon you. We didn't. We got another Nail the Score coming up. Quickly, we have to lighten the load. I mean, really, out of the gate already, what are we talking about? I previewed the fact that we're talking to Chris Ferguson, sadly, about the kids who were killed in Newtown, Connecticut. We talked about the horrible holiday conditions between the tornadoes and the snow and all the delays, 1,300 to 1,500 flights. So I figured, let's talk about something happy. Like, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Hanukkah? What did you get? What was your best gift by far? Holiday sales, they say, have been the weakest since 2008, which is surprising if you think of Black Friday, blowout. You think of Cyber Monday, blowout sales. So, weakest since 2008. Think about 2008. We were in the recession. So what does this mean? Because bad weather, uncertainty about the economy, possible tax increases, spending cuts early next year. Maybe this is exactly what was predicted was going to happen. So sales for the 2 months before Christmas actually went up. And this is according to MasterCard Advisory Spending Pulse. It's a report that comes out, by the way. So, you know, I'm not just mythically pulling these, you know, numbers, inventing these numbers out of my head. That's where they're coming from. So it's below the 3 to 4% growth that they expected year over year. What does that mean? So they're going to have to try to make up lost ground. The final week of December accounts actually for about 15% of the month's sales in December, and it's not looking really, really good. So maybe some people spent some money on you, though. What was your best Christmas gift? Matt, what was the best Christmas gift that you got?
I think the most interesting thing
I got was I got the 25th anniversary Bad album by Michael Jackson.
Really? In the snow?
I thought that was pretty awesome because it has, it's a two-disc thing. With the first disc, the remastered original album, and then the second disc was all these unreleased tracks. So I was pretty wowed by that because I'm a pretty big Michael Jackson fan. But I got other things. I got money towards a new laptop that I'm going to be buying soon. And a couple other little trinkets and other things. But that to me, that was the most interesting gift.
Is the stocking a big deal in your family?
It was growing up. Now there's not really a stocking anymore.
Oh, so they said goodbye to the stockings. Your family said, forget it, you're not kids.
Right.
We don't have to do this.
Exactly.
Wow. Now, my family, it's all about the stockings. Always, always, always. That's the last thing. You open it up, and usually there's some good things in it and funny things and whatever. And we had so many presents because I'm in Tampa visiting my family. We had so many with the family here. There were so many presidents. There were so many presidents floating around, dead presidents. There were so many presents floating around that the stockings didn't even get open until the next day. Is that crazy? Yes, spoiled, spoiled we are. So tell me what your best Christmas gift was. What was your best Christmas gift? I'm curious, especially since they're saying, you know, you're thinking that electronics are, it always seems to be the big deal, but if that many people weren't spending because the stores are saying collectively they're down, 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 I'm thinking, well, there's still people that are absolutely out of work, and the fear of what we're going to see on the other side of the beginning of 2013 and things leading up to the holiday, maybe this is, you know, part of the reason why that is. Heading into the season, you know, that was the prevalent thought that, yeah, it's going to be kind of a slow, weak Christmas time for retailers because people are not going to spend that money. Then we saw the big surge, like I said, coming up after Turkey Day. Obviously, something has changed. Certainly, when I look around, I see plenty of people seem to be shopping. Maybe they're waiting. Maybe they're waiting for those sales. You get 50% off, 75% off right after Christmas. Sometimes people do that where they'll wait and then have the family get-togethers after that because think of the money you would save. Think of the money you would save. All right, here's one from Mark listening to us in Illinois. And Mark has actually sent me a thing where he says, what recession are you talking about? My wife gave me an iPad. However, I've only been wanting it for a year. I'm thinking that she saved up for it, and it's really, really cool. I'm just learning how to use it. Here's another quick one. This one from Georgie Boy in Austin. He says the best thing that he got was an iTunes card from his folks for $100. Wow, $100 worth of downloading. That's pretty good. And could I find the CDs? Which, how many people are buying CDs now? I went to go look for some CDs over the right before Christmas, and I think I was in a couple of places. One, I was in Barnes & Noble, and I looked at their selection. People are downloading. I mean, they had some CDs, but it was not like it used to be. It was very, very sparse. And, of course, all the good stuff was taken if somebody actually wanted the disc. Because you could burn, if you download the songs, you could certainly burn them to a disc. And here's another one. Here's another one more. I'm going to give you one more. This is from Beth, who is listening to us in Missouri. Beth says, hey, Kate, glad to see you're with us. Again, during the holidays, my best gift was probably the fact that I got a riding lawnmower. A woman who gets a riding lawnmower and says it's the best gift. How much do those things cost? I have no idea. I've never priced them. Anybody have any idea how much that is? I have no idea. I think some of the people that actually were able to stay in with the snow, when you get snow on Christmas days, and that's always supposed to be a good deal, right? I don't think if you had to travel and it was so great, but if you could just relax, enjoy it, build snowmen, hang by the fire, or do the skiing thing, you know, that might be a little bit different. You might feel differently about getting a lot of the white stuff. I said that coming up at the at the third segment, we were going to talk to a criminologist about what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, because still, I think, heading into 2013, this is absolutely one of the big stories, and one of the reasons it's a big story is because the outrage over so many of the kids being killed, and what does it mean for our culture, and what does it mean with the guns, and I think the debate over guns now has really, really opened up without a doubt, and then there's been polls all over the place, it seems pretty, not surprisingly, split 50-50 as to people who think that there should be more guns that are taken out of Americans' hands and more gun control, and others who think, you know, hey, listen, this is a slippery slope. I don't think that we want to go in this direction. You could pick any one of the polls, and I think I've looked at six of them recently, and you just crack it right down the middle without a doubt. It certainly ended up, sadly, being one of the biggest, biggest news events of 2012. Over the next couple of days, we'll be looking at some of the big stories that really moved us, some of the stories that inspired us, and sadly some of the stories that we just couldn't shake, and the shooting was definitely one of them, just like the mass shooting in Colorado when you had the nut there that opened fire during the midnight screening of the Batman movie The Dark Knight Rises in a suburb of Denver, killing 12 people there and wounding 58. And this was a kid who, by all accounts, was a pretty smart kid, and they're trying to make sense of that one. So while they're trying to make sense of that, then this same thing happens in Connecticut, only you're talking about a bunch of first graders, mostly, who were the victims of it. So Chris Ferguson, I thought, was one of the best interviews of 2012 because he tried to make sense of a horribly tragic situation, and how do you deal with this in the future, and who are we looking at, and what can we do, if we can do anything, to prevent this from happening in the future by seeing some of the red flags. Chris Ferguson, Round the Bend.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Welcome back to America Tonight. New revelations in the Adam Lanza case. The investigators trying to figure out what made him snap and kill 26 people at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Apparently, and this isn't official, but apparently his mother Nancy was getting ready to try to have him committed. She was at her wit's end, according to witnesses and some other people. As I said, this isn't official, but she was dealing with somebody who had what they're calling a borderline personality disorder. So we'll get as much information to you about it as we can as we certainly move along here. And she had been helping the school over the years here and there, and apparently he was making the connection that she loved the students, the little kids, more than him. At least that's what's being said at this point. Again, not official. Christopher Ferguson is in the wings. He's an associate professor of psychology and criminal justice. And he's kind of in my neck of the woods. He teaches at Texas A&M International University. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, so when this happens, it's the why question that really just drives us all crazy, because we want to be able to know why. You heard what I said at the top there. Does that seem like a plausible possibility, do you think?
It's possible. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's important to emphasize this is really just unofficial preliminary information going out to the public. Very often in the first days or weeks following an event like this, the kinds of information that we can get, the kinds of information that we can hear, can be quite unreliable. So we have to, you know, have that grain of salt basically in mind. But that having been said, it certainly is a plausible scenario. I mean, one of the things we do know about mass homicide perpetrators in general is that they do tend to have a history of mental health problems. And that seems to be something that is a commonality across most of these instances. So that is certainly possible that, you know, if there may have been an individual who had a chronic mental illness and then perhaps faced with a scenario he didn't like, you know, may have decided to resort to violence at that time.
Yeah. Why target children? Is this we've seen this before. Certainly yeah. Columbine, everybody always talks about Columbine, but there have been other schools in between that and even before that. This isn't an unusual target, children, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, of course, in some of these cases like Columbine, the individuals were students at that school. So that is quite common to see, you know, we call them school shooters, you know, mass homicide perpetrators who attack their own places of education. But there have been cases in which even adults who had no or very tenuous ties to schools have targeted schools. In China, particularly in 2010, there were a rash of school knifings, which did result in fatalities. There also was a knifing last Friday in China that thankfully did not result in any fatalities, although many kids were injured. You know, so we do see these scenarios in which perpetrators are attacking schools. And again, you know, we're trying to make sort of sense out of a senseless thing, really, but, you know, the best guess or sort of the best approximation we have at this point is what these individuals are doing are really trying to express their rage towards society. Again, that's kind of a commonality you see with mass homicide perpetrators. They're oftentimes they're blaming others for their own problems. They think that society has mistreated them. And, you know, really, what, as we can see in the, you know, very emotional and heartrending reaction to the tragedy, you know, if that's your mentality, you know, what better way to, you know, strike out at society than to strike at society's, you know, weakest, most innocent members? And yeah. I think that's what we're seeing here.
As far as mental illness is concerned, do you think we do enough to help the people who have borderline disorder problems or any kind of psychiatric needs? Do we need to emphasize that a little bit more? The reason I ask you that is because I think sometimes people are afraid to seek out help because they don't want to be seen as a leper. They don't want anyone to know yeah. anything about their mental health. Do we need to change
right.
that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very difficult issue. I mean, I think in terms of are we doing enough for the mentally ill, I think quite clearly the answer is no. You know, mental health care in the United States is pretty well known for being underfunded. There are a lot of gaps in coverage, you know, particularly for people that do have chronic mental illnesses. Obtaining long-term care is very, very difficult for these individuals. You know, it is important to, you know, point out that we don't want to stigmatize the mentally ill, that, you know, vast majority of mentally ill individuals are not violent. You know, they do not commit these types of crimes or offenses. But, you know, unfortunately, there are a small number of people with chronic mental illnesses that, if left untreated, may resort to, you know, some acts of violence, not always, you know, mass homicides, of course, but there is some risk there. And, you know, I think part of the issue, of course, is, you know, paying for all this. I mean, if we're talking about increasing mental health care, of course, that's not going to be free. And I think part of the issue is that, you know, I think people tend to think of mental health care as something like a welfare issue that, you know, why should my tax money go to help somebody else or what have you? And I think we may need to really refocus that as being as much a public health issue or public safety issue as it is a, you know, a public health issue that by, you know, providing adequate care for the mentally ill, which actually is cheaper than waiting for them to go to jail, by the way, but by providing mental health care that is adequate, we, you know, taxpayers themselves may get something from that in terms of, you know, greater public safety and less risk of events like this happening.
Yeah, well said. I've been talking about that the last couple of shows. You've also looked into, you know, you're the editor of Violent Crime, Clinical and Social Implications, and you've also written The Suicide Kings. And one of the things that you've looked at is video games and mental health. You know, we just had also the shooting in Portland, Oregon, and there have been numerous shootings that we've talked about, Virginia Tech. So in trying to reach out for the whys, which is where we started, there's also this thing about video games. And do video games make kids grow into young adults who want to go out and use guns to kill people? What did you find in your studies?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the studies that we've done you know, here at the university, we're not with, you know, kids who are mass shooters or that sort of thing, but we were looking really at sort of kids within the community and looking at more typical kinds of youth violence and dating violence, bullying, and that sort of activity. In the studies we've done here, we've done experiments, we've done, you know, sort of longitudinal studies where we followed kids for a long period of time. We have not found any evidence that video game or television violence contributes to youth violence or any other aggressive related outcome. And it's important to point out that even in these cases of mass homicide perpetrators, exposure to violent media is not a commonality between them. We tend to have this issue in society where we kind of engage in confirmation bias that, you know, if a shooter happens to be a young male who plays video games, we highlight that, you know, video game aspect. And then we ignore it in cases where, you know, the individual is not a gamer, you know, like Amy Bishop, you know, middle-aged woman who shot up her campus in Alabama, for instance. People just don't mention video games in those sorts of scenarios. So, I mean, the U.S. Secret Service actually looked at this in terms of, you know, school shooters, and these were more of the young men, and found no evidence that people who are homicide perpetrators, mass homicide perpetrators, consume any more violent media than anybody else does. This is really pretty much a red herring. The Washington Post actually posted something yesterday looking at the data on video game violence consumption across nations. So comparing the U.S. to South Korea, Japan, Austria, Sweden, Switzerland, and found that per capita video game consumption is not related to gun theft or other violence related outcomes, but the issue of gun control is. I mean, the thing that really makes the U.S. stand out is the absence of gun control laws, not its consumption of violent media. We hear a lot about this idea of a culture of violence in the U.S., and it makes for a nice talking point, but, you know, there's really nothing behind it. You know, using violence in media has been something that's been around since the Greeks and since fairy tales, and there's nothing unique about the U.S. In that respect.
Yeah, I like that, fairy tales. And speaking of gun control, of course, the NRA releases a statement. They're going to have a big press conference on Friday, and the nation is talking about at least assault weapons and banning assault weapons. We'll see where that goes. Do you think there's anything that we, as someone who's studied things or, you know, aspects of this, do you think that there's something besides also looking, and I thought that was great when we talk about mental health, looking at it as a public safety issue, is there anything else we can do? People keep talking about look for the red flags, but how do you look for the red flags in someone that you think might be violent?
Right. Well, the main red flag, you know, the Secret Service has suggested that we look out for is basically a lot of these perpetrators, not all of them, and at least sort of this preliminary information coming out on the Lanza case is suggesting he might be an exception as well, but With a lot of these cases, the perpetrator tells somebody that they're, you know, or gives a hint at least of what they're going to do. And there have been cases that have been, stopped before they, you know, they actually get to violence because someone did go to the authorities and said that they had some sort of, information that someone was going to commit a shooting or something of that sort, or bombing or what have you. So that seems to help at least in some cases that people do come forward with just information or speculation that someone might be preparing to do something like that. But of course, the sad fact is that these events are very, very hard to predict. You know, there is no panacea that is going to make these events, you know, miraculously go away. But there's a lot of talk, you know, among the politicians of, you know, this is never going to happen again. And the sad reality is it probably is going to happen again, but we can take some steps to at least reduce the frequency of these events. And I really think we may need to look at, you know, the approaches that some other nations have taken, like the UK, for instance, or Australia, when they've had events like this. What have they done and how successful have those efforts been reducing the frequency, at least, of these types of events?
Yeah. Chris Ferguson, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Thank you.
wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health.
Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch. GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly. 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come get some time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Papa's got a brand new bag.
A big shout out to all of you from Tampa, Florida. Kate Delaney hanging without a net, basically. You know what? I saw a great skit on Saturday Night Live maybe a month or so ago, and they did a story where you went. Boy, how great was it to go home for the holidays and look at all the cool things that you can do and all the places where you can, where you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep in the house and whatnot. And I feel badly for my poor sister-in-law because she is overrun with family. And, you know, it's one of those situations where we're sleeping in my nephew's. Can you relate to this? I'm sleeping in my nephew's room and it's just a creative kid where he has an imagination that runs wild. So I have a cobra hanging over my bed, coiled up, ready to spring on me, along with a Mayan calendar as a reminder that the world didn't end when the calendar went out, and all kinds of other things that I can't even describe to you in detail. I think there's a shark's jaw that I almost stepped on the other day, and all kinds of museum-like things in his room. He's that kind of kid. So it made me laugh because I thought of the Saturday Night skit where you're staying at a relative's and, you know, it's makeshift. It's the blow-up bed or you're squished into the room in the closet or, you know, whatever it might be. But that's what happens. That's what brings families closer together. That's what the holidays are for, right? I mentioned that what was the best Christmas gift that you received this Christmas holiday? Was there one gift that really stood out? Because apparently, according to the consumer numbers, shopping was actually down to 2008 numbers. And 2008 was when we were knee-deep in the recession. You remember the banks too big to fail, and that kicked us off in September and October, and then we swung into a terrible December. And those numbers were apparently just as bad from 2008 to now this year. So what is it? Is it that more people are out of work? Is it people are being conservative with their money because they're worried about it? Is it because of all the stories of flying over the fiscal cliff? What are the reasons that suddenly there was not a lot of spending? I think part of it might have been the last-minute shopping anyway, because you had more than a foot of snow for a lot of people on the East Coast where, frankly, the visibility wasn't there. You weren't going to run out. You weren't going to risk your life to go and get these gifts and trot home with them and frantically wrap them up and run off someplace else, because some of the snow was that bad, where roads were closed in the Midwest. A lot of the roads were closed. There was some severe weather in the South, and then there were delays. There were a lot of delays for people picking people up from the airport and trying to get in from Chicago, trying to get in from Newark, New Jersey, and, you know, other airports across the country. If you have 1,500 flights delayed and then it's all tangled up and it's a mess, and you know that it's going to be nasty for some people to try to ultimately reach their destination. I said this, that one of the biggest stories, if we go back and we look at 2012, the thing that we talked about so much besides the election has to be politically, what are we doing financially? What's happening? The Federal Reserve, what's going on with the debt ceiling, pushing the limit up, which we do year after year after year. How much is too much? $16 trillion and counting. The voices on this show, no matter if you wear a D or an R, people are tired of hearing about the debt ceiling. They're tired of hearing about what ails us with the cliff. And tired of hearing about what's going to happen when full-on the health care law that admittedly has flaws kicks in, and there's some of the exchanges aren't formed yet and all that other sort of stuff, just trying to sort it out. Which, by the way, it's a good time to mention this. We'll be heading to Washington at the end of January to talk about what's happening with healthcare, how it's being implemented, what are the things to look for, what's going to happen with some of the businesses, talking to politicians, talking to people in the healthcare industry, and get the very, very latest on exchanges, what plans mean to you, what the push is, what the blowback is, what it means in all the states, frankly, where you're listening to me here on America Tonight. Coming up this show, I want to make sure that I mention this because I know so many of you sent me notes. The mailbag is full. You sent me notes about whether or not we were going to have another Nail the Score, and in fact, we will have Nail the Score. Nail the Score, you know, I'm not in charge of picking what the game of the week is. Randomly, our computer will pick the game of the week, and if the computer picks the game, then you give us a call and tell us who you think is going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. And if you correctly nail the score, you'll win some fabulous prizes. I have a good feeling. Santa's elves told me that Dave in Vermont finally got his package. And I know that people were people at the packing place, the elves, where they were packing it, they were very excited about the leather coat. And he won some other things. He won some other cool things, too, from America Tonight. But I think it's more about the bragging rights than anything else. I think it's more about the bragging rights. So keep the number handy, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. You know, somebody asked me this the other day at lunch when we were talking about all of what happened in 2012, what I thought the biggest game changer was. And I thought that was a great question. What was the biggest game changer, you know, for this past year? And he just wanted me to answer the question. He wouldn't elaborate. He didn't give me any parameters, you know, meaning on the positive side, meaning technology, something different that some event, something that changed something in the United States or globally or whatever. And his reply to me was, no, what did you think was the biggest game changer in 2012? The obvious thing to say, and I believe it is the biggest game changer, is the man who was the person of the year, Barack Obama, getting two terms as now the third president in the row to do that, because so much time was not wasted, but so much time was devoted to either beating Obama or getting him elected. Whether it was the Sunday swirl, which is the hot air, the political hot air from all the Sunday shows, that whether it's NBC or ABC or CBS or CNN or Fox or whatever, so much of what we talked about, if we added up the minutes that were devoted to the presidential race, without a doubt, and we stacked it up against other stories, so that's how you measure things. And we were measuring journalistically how much something was mentioned. Without a doubt, Obama running, and who was going to run against him, and how was he going to get defeated, or how was he going to win, and what were the issues, number one story. So I think that's why Time magazine went with it. They actually did kind of an interesting thing, and they had other covers where they talked about, where they had people on who was number two, who was number three. Like number three was the Apple CEO, Tim Cook. And so many changes at Apple with Steve Jobs' death and Cook finally taking over, and what Apple was doing to revolutionize technology and the way we communicate. And that's not a surprise that he would be on the short list, but he wasn't number one. Number one was the president. And I think from that sense, if you were adding up numbers and conversation and what was going to happen and what course, what direction we're going to take as a nation in the next 4 years, that was the biggest story. That was the biggest game. That was the biggest game changer, with no parameters as to whether it was something horrible, whether it was something wonderful, whether it was something to do with business, something to do with entertainment. Absolutely, hands down, it would have to be Barack Obama becoming president again for the second term. And that inauguration is coming up. This time around, always in the second time, a lot of people don't come out for those inaugurations. There's hotel rooms still available in Washington. There's still seats to do, to watch the whole swearing-in thing. Because it's the second time around, it's part two. It's always the first time where the crowds come out and the hotels are booked up, and it's just absolute crazy chaos. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove Minimal Wood Use Cooking Stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.